October 7th. Many assumptions and paradigms, says the article, not just of Israelis, but of American Jews too, perished in the wake of October 7th. Many disturbing features characterize this new world in which we find ourselves. But also, says the article, we shall see a historic opportunity has arisen. What is that historic opportunity? They see it as a revival of Judaism and United States Jewry. Well, here's my question for you. If that can happen among the Jewish people as a result of October 7th, what could happen to Christians in America as a result of rising persecution? What could happen in Western Europe as a result of rising Christian persecution? Could it be that it could be the seeds of a spiritual revival to prepare the people for the second coming of Jesus Christ? You see, oftentimes we look at the negative side of things, but oftentimes it's the extreme negative things that actually, or seemingly negative things, that produce something very positive and much more dramatic. So today on Viewpoint, we're going to take a look at that, and I'm glad that you joined us. This conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. Speaking of that, another article came out in the Christian Post called Shadows of Intolerance, Sounds of Alarm for the Western World, reveals the biggest lesson from persecuted Christians. You mean we can learn from persecuted Christians? Apparently so. In fact, if you read my new book, which is now in my hands, just delivered yesterday, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times, you'll find that that's exactly what's happened. And so there's hope on the horizon. A persecution watchdog that has spent years exposing anti-Christian atrocities across the globe contends that Christians in the West, the Western world, can learn a great deal from fellow believers in duress. When you see the joy of the persecuted church, this to me is a valuable lesson that we need in the West, said David Curry, the CEO of Global Christian Relief. He said they're under pressure, they're under constraints, yet they're bold, and they're happy, and they're present. Curry described a recent trip to Nigeria where Christian persecution has reached a fever pitch. He said these individuals exude joy and hope, which in turn left him encouraged. He said, I don't want to go through those things, but I've seen it take them deeper in their faith, and it's encouraging. Understandably, some are broken mentally and spiritually due to the intense trauma that they face. But still, he said, the perseverance that he's seen has left him deeply encouraged and inspired on his own journey. While the U.S. and Western world are nowhere near as saturated with anti-Christian sentiment as are many other nations around the globe, he cited shadows of persecution, censorship, intolerance, and so on toward the Christian faith that can be observed in Western Europe and in America. He said we can learn the lessons from the persecuted church of how they've kept strong. Maybe, just maybe, it could result in something that has been prayed for two generations, revival in America that has eluded seemingly our prayers. Could it be that actually increasing persecution could draw people closer and closer to the Lord and to one another in the faith? Interesting question, isn't it? At the same time, we hear this report, Rwanda has closed more than 5,600 churches just last month. 13,000 religious institutions were inspected in collaboration with local authorities. Rwanda has progressively been implementing a law it passed in 2018 to regulate religious organizations. Religious organizations are required to obtain registration documents. The churches also need to show letters of collaboration with the district authorities, they said. The same is now happening in Kenya. Steps toward regulating religious organizations began just this month. So this matter of governmental control that ultimately devolves into various levels of persecution is happening all over the world. It's happening in Africa. It's happening in Pakistan. It's happening in China. It's happening in Russia. It's happening in America, Western Europe. And here we are today with the book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. It's in my hands right now. It came last evening, shipped. Some of you who signed up for the Persecution Project and who had the larger commitments had these books shipped directly from the printer. And just yesterday, we received a telephone call from a listener in San Francisco. San Francisco, my friends. And the listener left a message of weeping and thanksgiving upon opening the case of books. Weeping with gratitude and thanksgiving upon seeing the cover of the book. It's truly dramatic. It'll get your attention. When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. But it's not just the cover. It's what's in the book. And so here's the deal. You may not have participated in the Persecution Project, but right now, it's now your turn to obtain the book, one copy, two, three, or four, whatever you want to do. It's $25, and it's a 384-page book. It is divided into a number of different sections, helping you to organize your thinking as you read it. It's very, very easy to read it. There are actually eight parts in the book. The promise of perilous times, prescription for perilous times, provision for perilous times, patience for perilous times, parenting in perilous times, pastoring in perilous times, the power of pressure, and preparing for the blessed hope. Those are the eight sections of the book, and you need to get a hold of it. $25 on our website, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA or write to us. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismar, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismar. Again, if you want to get a copy of the book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Our Hearts for Perilous Times, it's a $25 book. Yours on our website, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, or you can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $6 now for postage and handling. We've discovered that that barely covers our cost. Barely covers our cost. So today we're going to talk about some patterns of American persecution. Now, in order to understand this, we have to realize that all true Bible-believing Christians are the declared enemies of godless progressivism, and they have to ultimately be despised, derided, demeaned, and dethroned by whatever means deemed remotely possible. So we have in our country, unfortunately, such a major division. We have a political division that's a manifestation of a horrific spiritual division in the country. of God despisers, God haters, God resistors, and those who still maintain some measure of the fear of the Lord in the land with respect for the Christian faith at the very least, and are willing to follow the Lord as best they understand. So we have this massive division that manifests itself in political form. It has now taken the form to redefine the meaning of what it means to be part of the Democrat Party or the Republican Party. The Democrat Party, unfortunately, has now gone the way of, I hate to use the term radical, but it is, radical progressivism. That's its nature. That's what it's pursuing. Now, if we understand that, persecution is promoted by progressive politics throughout the whole Western world, not just America, but in Europe. And it's true in Europe, all the Western nations comprising the resurrected ancient Roman Empire. Remember, that was prophesied by Daniel to be in power at Christ's return, just as it was at his first coming. So America is the esteemed leader in the West, and therefore is no exception, has become the apparent leader of Western persecution by means of progressive politics. So it's precisely because this godless progressive movement is the engine that's driving and motivating almost all things anti-Christian America, that it becomes somewhat sheltered from being labeled as persecution. Because the contention is that it's only political, you see, and social and cultural, and therefore not religious persecution, but it really is. But it's what underlies as foundational to that viewpoint that in practical application becomes what we might call functional persecution. Now, probably the foundation for all that is what we have frequently called political correctness, multiculturalism, and religious pluralism. That's a so-called progressive politics, the unholy trinity of what is commonly known as political correctness, multiculturalism, and religious pluralism. The problem is that that purports to unite peoples and groups by a definition of good to be pursued to save the world from divisiveness, friction, and war. So whatever seems to be at odds with that utopian concept is, by definition of the progressive thinking, evil and to be resisted and ultimately destroyed, or so badly marginalized so as to have no effect in preventing progressivism from prevailing in every culture and nation. And it's this progressivism that is and will be the foundation of the one world government that will usher in the counterfeit Christ and Antichrist. So you can see where this is going. And if we have not been able to see the trajectory of these things, seemingly political, but the foundation for them was spiritual, actually rebellion against God's word, will, and ways, and the effort to substitute man's viewpoint over God's viewpoint. Now, in order to understand that, for instance, if we talk about identifying the Antichrist, you'll remember my book, Antichrist, How to Identify the Coming Imposter, which, by the way, is still available. It's a $22 book, yours for $20 on the website, saveus.org. If you don't have it, you should get it. But in there, we talk about the mark of the beast. Well, the mark of the beast is characterized by a number, 666. And people always have tried historically to identify that with a particular man using gematria or some other kind of numbering system to come up with a conclusion that it must be so-and-so, so-and-so, or so-and-so, and it never is proven to be true. Well, here's the problem. I believe, and we've talked about this many times over the last years, seven is the number of God's perfection. Six is the number of man's best efforts, just short of God. So 777 would be the accentuation of God and his authority and control. 6 would be the accentuation of man's authority and control and dominion. So, then by definition, 666 is the reference to both humanity as assuming or usurping authority over God, and ultimately manifested in one individual who will purport to be the surrogate of God, but in the name of Satan, called the Antichrist. Now, that being the case, then we should see where this pattern is going. The pattern that resulted in continuing and accentuated persecution, even in the Western world, supposedly the Christian West, is really being manifested by the replacing of 777 with 666. In other words, the complete, total authority of humankind against the word, will, and ways of God. That's progressivism. So, if we understand that, then if we understand also that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no man will come to the Father but by me. But progressives say, no, that's divisive. That's divisive. That can't be true. We don't buy into that. That's the viewpoint of Oprah Winfrey, for instance. And she carries that as best as it can be carried, I suppose, in the name of love and acceptance and unity. She carries that spirit and has now for a very long period of time and has sought to disciple all who will listen to that viewpoint. So the majority of persecution in the West, Europe, America, comes clothed in political jargon, like social issues, multiplied court proceedings, media mockery, all that are calculated to compel Christians to conform to godless progressivism. And so the message, that becomes then the alternative message of salvation for the world to find peace and prosperity. So you can see, Satan is very clever. He is seeking to accomplish the very things that God promised, but in an alternative way. And the counterfeit Christ, or the Antichrist, will actually be, shall we say, the incarnation of everything ultimately progressivism, which is the replacement of God's pure, holy viewpoint. So, we're going to take a look in the balance of the program as to how this is actually taking place in our country and in the Western world. In fact, there's hardly a week that goes by, even a day that goes by, where reports are coming in to show that American citizens are being pressured to submit and conform to these increasingly prevailing political values that are increasingly God-rejecting in the culture. We did a program concerning Christ over culture. Well, that's part of the battleground. That's another way of framing this. It's either culture over Christ, culture and Christ, where each are of equal authority in our lives, or Christ over culture. Progressivism says, no, it's culture over Christ. And we'll only use Christ in order to achieve that which is counter to Christ, in the name of Christ. That's why it's so deceptive. So pressure is being brought. All kinds of pressure is being brought to bear through many common sources, and it's building incrementally, little here, little there, in order to achieve the necessary level of pressure to compel or enforce compliance or conformity. And that's what we're going to take a look at in the second half of the program here on Viewpoint. Viewpoint does determine destiny. And by the way, did you know that the word tribulation there in Matthew chapter 24 actually is the word from the Greek called pressure? Pressure. That's what persecution is about. Pressure. That's what tribulation is about. Pressure. Trials and tribulations. And that's why Jesus was very explicit in Matthew chapter 24 when he said, "But he that endures to the end shall be saved." Notwithstanding the pressure, notwithstanding the persecution, notwithstanding the tribulations that come upon us, if we use the word pressure, it helps us to free ourselves from a whole bunch of theological misinterpretations in using the word tribulation. But Jesus did say, he did say that after about 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel, that the pressure would become so intense, the deception would be so great and so intense, that if it were possible, even the very small remnant elect would be deceived. Now, that's a lot of pressure, and that's a lot of trial and tribulation. And that's why Jesus called it the Great Tribulation. There's no other place called a tribulation per se. Tribulation comes upon all, the Bible says. However, there is no place in the Bible that talks about a 7-year tribulation. Only a great tribulation that comes perhaps in the last 3.5 years of a period of time, sometimes referred as the 70th week of Daniel, that would be 7 years, that would begin with the inauguration of a global empire, a global government, that will ultimately rise to inaugurate an individual who will stand like a president of that new world order, that new global empire, the resurrected Roman Empire. And we call that person generally the Antichrist or the lawless one. So, get a copy of the book, Antichrist, How to Identify the Coming Imposter, $22 on our website. And also the brand new book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. Again, I have it in my hands as we speak. You're not going to want to miss the cover itself. It will literally grab your heart. When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. $25, we'll put it in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. By the way, if you're getting When Persecution Comes and the book Antichrist together, it will be $8 combined for postage and handling for the two books. Okay, we'll be right back after this to take a look at how this pressure is breeding.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation as always with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms, and today is not just informational, but should be transformational in each one of our lives to help us to identify to sober us up as to the times in which we are living and how what is being experienced in other places in the world is rapidly being accomplished here in America, and yes, in England, the UK, in France, in Germany, all over the Western world. Now, if we were to take a quick journey to China, for instance, we would know, and we've talked about it so many times here over the years, concerning China and the persecution against Christians there. Christianity has been driven underground in China. The only way you can really practice the Christian faith at all is to be part of the Three Self Patriotic Church movement, which basically is government, communist governing government, alleged Christianity, which has removed all miracles of Christ, everything that really makes the Christian faith stand out in power and authority. They've removed all of that. And if you don't comply with that, you're subject to having yourself arrested. They'll track you down. People have been had to go to house churches all over the nation of China. And they go after the house church pastors. They arrest them. They beat them. They put them in jail. It's been horrific. But there's another group there that is called the Falun Gong, and they've been around. It's a Chinese quasi-religious practice. And last month, actually, concluded the 25th anniversary of the beginning of China's horrific persecution of that group of people. And I mean horrific. So China wants to control everything of any kind of religious status or behavior because the state has to be all-powerful. As the one world government comes into place, indeed, the state will become all-powerful. It will be your surrogate God. You must worship the state. And you will have to worship then the Antichrist because he is the representative of Satan himself who seeks to replace Christ, and you will bow to him as he takes his roles, takes his place in a rebuilt temple on the Temple Mount. But for now, in China, the Falun Gong, which involves millions and millions of people in communist China, is under terrifying persecution. So, as we speak, there are more than 130 lawmakers from 15 countries that are calling on China's communist regime to end its persecution of that particular group of people. They condemn the 25 years of human rights abuses that are absolutely horrific. But the same things that are happening to them are happening to Christians. Christians have gone underground, and indeed, you may wonder why every day on our program we talk about God calling the church back into the home. Home is where the heart is, and it's going to come to the time, I can't tell you exactly when, but it is moving forward. It's going to come to the time when in the United States of America and throughout Europe, so-called Christian West, people who profess to be Christians will not be able to worship in a genuine Christian church unless it conforms absolutely to the same kind of power that China requires for the three self-patriotic church in China, the so-called Christian church under communist dominion. Now, that's a pretty scary thing, which means you and I better start thinking about our homes. Better start thinking about, well, what if, when that kind of level of persecution begins to occur in this country, in your state, in your city, what will you do? How will it get to that point? Will you be willing to open up your home? Remember, the early church did not meet in buildings, met in homes. It wasn't until Christianity was made the religion of the realm under Constantine at about 321, 323 AD that they began to meet in converted pagan basilicas instead of homes, and everything changed. So home is not a weird place for Christians to meet. It's in the original place where Christians met. Just sharing that with you, sowing the seeds for you to be considering thinking about your own home as a place of holy hospitality. All right, so we move on and take a look at how this pressure that persuades people and breeds persecution. The first kind of pressure is parental pressure. So, for instance, there are foster parents that are fighting state discrimination over Christian beliefs on sexuality. That's right. In California, you could lose your child under a new gender affirmation bill, AB 957. It passed. That's right. And then there's athletic pressure. We're seeing how athletics now can become a place of persecution. Just look what happened with the Olympics. Just look at the opening event of the Olympics and what they did to mock and blaspheme the Christian faith. They felt free to do that. That's the spirit of the new progressive order that is anti-God, anti-Christian, and compels you to tolerate them while they don't tolerate you. Pro athletes share their Christian beliefs with a sports reporter. For instance, a golfer, Amy Olson, competed at the Women's Open at Pebble Beach. She was 7 months pregnant, and the Global Golf Post magazine interviewed her but refused to publish because Amy's pro-life avowedly Christian beliefs. They refused to publish the interview. So that story was picked up by USA Today's Golf Week, the interview that never ran because the editors killed it. Why did they kill it? Because we have to take out that abortion and that Christian stuff, they said. They don't want that message out there. Golf, yes. But if she's a Christian and pro-life, no way. And then there's medical pressure. You might have actually experienced some of it. Medical centers claim religious oppression, just like a Christian thing. In fact, Vanderbilt University, right there in Nashville, Tennessee, the Bible Belt claims that Christianity oppresses minority faiths and has to be dismantled or fixed. That's what they said. And then there's legal pressure. God despisers are targeting faith. Release time for students. That's a very recent one. But then we have legal pressure coming against people who are, you know, they have their own business and they don't want to use their artistry and so on to support a homosexual agenda, for instance. And so they don't. And then they're sued and they're put out of business. It's persecution, friends. It's to compel every person in the country to either conform to the new progressive viewpoints, which are anti-God, anti-biblical viewpoints, or pay the price. Even the FBI is involved. You remember that the FBI created an anti-Catholic memo accusing true Catholics of being domestic terrorists. That's right, they did. There's no toleration. They're supporting pagan morality. And then another form of pressure is educational pressure. So when, for instance, states demand that professors teach government-approved wokeness, it's happening everywhere. Our school teachers are being inculcated with this progressive wokeness, which is all anti-Christian, anti-biblical, and it's designed to completely transform the whole understanding of morality and righteousness and holiness in the culture. To completely change 400 years of American history and our understanding. Cases all over the country. They are so many that we can't possibly cite them. California enacted regulations requiring more than 54,000 professors who teach the California community colleges to teach the state-adopted ideology of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And then, believe it or not, there's military pressure. For instance, an activist was seeking removal of a Christian bookstore from a military mini mall. The founder of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation claimed that this Faith to Soar bookstore constituted a government established of religion and had to be removed. Everywhere, friends, the hatred is building. We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
A year and a half ago, I believe that the Holy Spirit prompted me to take seriously the urgency to prepare God's people, particularly in the Western world and in America, for the persecution that was coming upon, would soon come upon us, because we're not prepared. Not prepared at all. In fact, those who endorsed this new book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times, were in 100% agreement that professing Christians are not prepared. Not prepared at all for persecution coming. No, we're addicted to prosperity and everything nice, everything cozy for the most part, and cannot imagine that this could possibly happen in America, but it already is. That's what I'm sharing with you. It already is. And it's coming in the form of a whole variety of pressure points that are seeking to compel every man, woman, and child to bow to a progressive, paganized system, eradicating all trust in God, eradicating all biblical authority, eradicating your willingness to trust God and to conform your life to his word, will, and ways, so that you must now conform to a new paganized, progressivized culture that is anti-God. Now, the next kind of pressure that we're facing is business pressure. Business pressure. For instance, Best Buy, you're familiar with that company, fired a whistleblower after leaks of a manager saying that Christian displays are not okay, but LGBT training is okay. So the employee was fired after speaking out against a mandatory LGBT training video where anything related to Christianity and God was out. And then there's a bank issue. For instance, J.P. Morgan Chase closed the business accounts of a doctor whose best-selling book, The Truth About COVID-19, exposed the virus was likely engineered in a lab and that the vaccines would not prevent infection or transmission. Remember what happened through COVID-19 and how the pressure was put through businesses, through government, through medicine, on people, even churches? You had to close down. Where do you think all that came from, friends? That's how the persecution is coming, regardless of what you think about COVID-19. Then we kind of talked about political pressure. It's sort of an imposter churchianity that is threatening American democracy. For instance, a Yale University sociologist says what he calls white Christian nationalism represents a grave threat to democracy because it defines we the people in a way that excludes many Americans. In fact, he claims that the Christian focus is perhaps the most serious threat to democracy that democracy now faces. That's the progressive viewpoint. We can go into that in much more detail, but we're not going to take the time. Just trying to kind of cover the overarching direction here. See, these political progressives are desiring desperately to eliminate God and influence the Christian faith, from get rid of it out of all things deemed political. And then they resort to labeling the morality of the Christian that doesn't align with their political objectives to be anti-democratic. Have you noticed that? They are actually the ones that are anti-democratic. But they're projecting their anti-democratic views on the rest of the people, including Christians, because they are totally intolerant. It's not the Christians that are intolerant. It's the anti-Christians that are intolerant. You either agree with our viewpoint or you're out. And then, by the way, it may seem strange, but there's church pressure. Now, this is really insidious. A seminary leader was under fire for exposing woke critical race theory in churches. That's right. The provost and theology professor at Grace Bible Theological Seminary came under fire as an extremist for criticizing woke politics and Christian churches and organizations. Suddenly, he found himself on the outs with the whole evangelical world. He said, it's amazing. In our post-truth culture, the worst thing you can call someone is an extremist, and that's what the evangelical community began to call this professor, theology professor, because he had the guts to reveal what was happening in the Christian churches and institutions. It's happening in Christian music, friends. I want you to be aware of this. You need to be very careful about what you listen to in the name of Christian music. It's been infected with all kinds of progressivism, all kinds of anti-biblical progressivism. And you may not recognize it as anti-biblical because it comes in on little cat feet and with feelings and so on. It's pretty amazing. So, one leader in the Christian music field lamented that things are happening in such a way, he said, I haven't seen this in decades in Christian music. He said, we have a major Christian label pushing sexual and explicit lyrics and videos alongside legacy church worship albums and contemporary Christian artists. He said, it's persecution in religious clothing, bearing the name of Christ as a moniker, but demanding the church submit to the larger culture as the master, or be mocked and derided for not being supposedly honest. So, and if you disagree, then you're said to be the problem because you're a bigot and you're old-fashioned or you're a transphobe or you're holier than thou or you're judgmental, you're out of touch. You see how this is happening? It's not like somebody is suddenly bringing a group of people riding on white stallions into your church and throwing smoke bombs in your church to eradicate Christians. No, it's coming in on little cat feet. Easily first. So, in reality, the entire American Bible-believing church is increasingly persecuted for failing to accept and celebrate the cultural demands of purported Christian leaders who are seeking worldly acceptance and popularity in the name of Christ and under the supposed ministry of evangelism. You see, there are all these kinds of rationales. Well, we have to win the world. We have to be like the world and accept the world in order to win the world. No, the world is winning us. They're spitting on Christianity. They're spitting on the name of Christ. And then finally, there's governmental pressure. The Department of Homeland Security actually, believe it or not, is grooming Americans to report on each other. The headline was A Nation of Snitches. It's amazing. The American government, under Biden and Harris, grooming people to spy on each other as part of the so-called Center for Prevention Programs and Partnership, based on so-called community policing. They're insidiously turning us into intolerant, squealing bystander nation under the motto, see something, say something. It's amazing what's happening. This is really all about laying the foundation, this so-called community policing, on a global scale, supposedly to prevent violent extremism by targeting racism, bigotry, hatred, intolerance, and to identify individuals who could be construed as potential extremist threats, like practicing Catholics, practicing evangelicals, and so on, or a business person who is trying to conduct their business according to biblical standards and putting them in conflict with progressive mandates. So anyone seen as opposing some government position or proclamation is then, by implication, an extremist. It's amazing. So even the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, has already labeled sincere Christians as extremists for a variety of stances ranging from abortion homosexuality, transgenderism, vaccinations, and so on. And ultimately, I think you should be able to see that the handwriting is on the wall, how this so-called community policing will soon take the role of a pervasive religious persecution. Yes, in the land of the free, it's increasingly becoming only the home of the brave. Hate to put it this way, but the scales are tipping closer to say Caesar is God than most people realize. And as one wrote in the Epic Times, believe it or not, the fear of suffering is driving us crazy. In other words, Americans are radically unprepared to endure persecution. So, in the book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times, the real issue is preparing hearts. That's what the book is about. It's not just informational. It's transformational. It's helping us. It's like a tool that every single one of us can use to prepare our own minds and hearts, that parents can use to prepare their own minds and hearts, and then the hearts and minds of their children. Three whole chapters dealing with the family and persecution. Parents, fathers. The church is a family. There's a reason why so many, many different people from all kinds of walks have endorsed this book. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 Christian leaders from a variety of different organizations and walks all across the country have endorsed this book. And why? Because they believe we are facing perhaps the most dangerous moment that we have ever faced in this country. Now, I believe that God prompted me to write this book as a message of hope and, yes, grace. Grace, God's enabling power, his unwarranted, undeserved favor, but also his willingness to use his power on our behalf to prepare us in mercy for that which we are not prepared, because he desires that none should perish, that none should turn away from their faith because of the intensity of persecution, but that all should come to total trusting faith. I hope that's you. When Persecution Comes, $25 on our website, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries at $6 for postage and handling. And let's be in prayer, friends. Our families are at stake.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.